Remind me, what was your question?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, the issue dealing there is with Moshe Rabbeinu and Chet HaEgel. And with,
I know.
No, and with Chet HaEgel, he is answered.
Right.
Right.
Thinking.
So first of all, we have to go, we have to look in the Gemara where the Pesukim refer to know what we are talking about, definitely. And of course, I mean, the truth is also, is the way we explain the Gemara is being answered, or lo shavre kam, did not come back empty, doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe is going to get what he wants in both cases, okay? He was answered and we don't know how, or whatever. Okay, the other question was, if you can remind me just, oh, leadership, oh, Rav Eliyahu. Well, you're saying that we didn't address the issue of Rav Eliyahu. First of all, I can't answer for Rav Eliyahu. How can I answer for him? I agree, and that's why I brought up the issue, that it was a very difficult thing to say. There was a lot of disillusionment. There are kids that I even have heard them saying that Rav Eliyahu is Moshiach Shekel, that he said that. In this question of this girl, I have like 10 pages that I took off the site, she's asking Rav Eliyahu about his father. And he doesn't answer, but she doesn't stop. She says to him, Lo anita li, you didn't answer me. And finally he says, it's a very, you know, touchy subject, his father, he says, I can't answer for my father, one. Second of all, I myself have seen how people have come to my father who haven't had kids for many years, and right away they conceived and they had children. So I agree that it's not an answer, but I'm telling you what he said. And he says that I've seen that, and I guess my father is used to his prayers being answered, and this is why he thought it was going to happen. But he says, I can't answer for him, and I'm afraid to ask him, and maybe he'll explain one day. So if his son doesn't answer, what can I say in this case? And about leadership, you asked about leadership. I agree. There has to be more leadership, even though I also think that a lot of the children, kids, are listening to their leadership. Depends what the leadership is telling them. But there is a group, possibly of Noara Gvaot you spoke about, or others, that are not listening to the leadership. For instance, in Amona, which is definitely a very painful thing even to speak about Amona, there are a few things. First of all, I want to say that most of the youth did not use violence. My son included was in Amona. You ask, how did the parents send them? My son is 18. He's going to go to the army and risk his life tomorrow. Am I going to tell him where to go, where not to go? He believes in that very strongly. The people that went to Amona believed. I mean, I have a brother with 13 kids who lives in Ofra. Amona is right above Ofra. And they believe, I mean, Amona is like strategically protecting Ofra and the whole area. You can see everything from the whole area. And their belief was, why were they fighting there? Because their belief was that it's starting with Amona, and it's going to be so easy, like in Gush Katif, to finish off all of Yehuda and Shomron. And my son, for instance, who feels so strongly about this, I'm going to tell him not to go. Now, I didn't think there would be violence. I was shocked with the violence. Possibly if I knew what violence would be, then I would convince him not to go. But I was shocked. How could I expect that the police would do what they did there? How could I expect that my son is sitting inside a house doing nothing, and his friends and everybody else just sitting there passively, and the police come in and start beating them? Excuse me one second. I'm answering now. One second. So how could I expect that violence to happen when he was doing nothing? There were a few on the roof, my son not included. He refused to go on the roof because he knew that going on the roof possibly will create violence. There were a few on the roof that prepared bricks, and I think that's a horrible thing. And I also question and ask myself, was there nobody there, leadership, the whole day, seeing that they were taking up bricks and barricading themselves and didn't stop them? I think it's a horrible thing, and I'm not saying it's good. And throwing the rock down at the police was horrible. But the police, the soldiers, the government, the establishment, the grown-ups, that gave pkudot to beat up kids and break their heads and I have many, many witnesses of grown-ups who told me so, Kolel Moti Yogev, who you saw in the movie, who was Mifaked HaNachal himself, and he's a Tat Aluf. And he himself said how he spoke to policemen and said to them, there's going to be danger here. Be careful. He spoke to the Mifaked, and the Mifaked wasn't willing to speak to him. He pushed him and broke his knee. So there were things like that. The truth is I didn't want to get into that so much because I was saying today to the Tradbergs who I was staying at today, I don't want to talk dibatalit. I don't want to talk about the country. It's very, very difficult for me. And things are very, very complex. But because the question was asked, I'm addressing that. And I'm saying again, there was violence on both sides, but you definitely cannot compare the violence. And about leadership, I agree. There has to be leadership. The question is, which leadership? Who's going to listen to the leadership? Leadership did come to Amona, and some of the kids threw them out. Now, my son told me that he looked on the roof, who was on the roof there throwing rocks, and he says it was Dafka, the kids, again, external, but he says the kids that looked less firmer, from the kids that weren't listening to rabbis, because they don't have rabbis to listen to. So you say, why wasn't the leadership saying anything? They weren't listening to that leadership, but many others do listen to leadership. I know my son listens to what Rav Aviner has to say, who's very moderate, and it has effect on him. Any other? First of all, I agree. Leaders that told them to disobey what? I feel there is a legitimate... Okay, I'll say I feel that there is a legitimate mecha'ah. I think that with of course there's the law and everything, but I think that on the other hand, the law is not above everything in every case. And another thing I wanted to say, what you said, which I totally disagree with what you were saying about the fact that the people did not plan. I want you to know that the facts are different. The people that planned also and negotiated were not compensated and still do not have homes. And I think that the government was not surprised by this. They knew that there would be these thousands of people without homes. If a person comes to you and tells you that you're going to be thrown out of your house, so you'll say thank you very much and just go, of course you're going to fight for your home. So they fought for their home in a legitimate way that they thought. It still does not mean that the government does not have to compensate them in the right way. And jobs, the government never even those that did agree and did go with consent, the government never said that they were going to provide jobs for them. That was never. And I don't understand how you cannot provide livelihood for people that their livelihood depended on the place that they lived. What wrong did they do? So I do not agree that the issue starts with the people not preparing themselves. I think that's totally wrong.
Regarding the issue of avilut, of bereavement, and how that's different than what I was referring to, it's another shir. You want another shir now? But basically, I'll try to say briefly. There's a difference between Tisha B'Av and between Sheva Asar B'Tammuz. On Tisha B'Av, we say kinos. On Sheva Asar B'Tammuz, we say slichot. Slichot is basically prayer. And when terrible things happen, we pray. But Sheva Asar B'Tammuz, the first tablets were destroyed, and after our prayer, we got second tablets. The difference between Sheva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av is that Tisha B'Av, there was a gzeira, and therefore the response to a gzeira is avelut. Avelut is the opposite of prayer. An onain, somebody who's lost somebody, is not allowed to daven. And therefore, basically, if somebody is supposed to mourn, that's the opposite of prayer, because prayer basically is hope that things can be changed, because God is giving me a message, and God wants me to pray in order to change things. When all of a sudden a terrible calamity happens, then one has to accept, that's called Siddiq Adin, accept what happened, and then restart his life again. And that's the idea of changing the place, but then again, you're koveya enumakom letfilato. But you have to have that cessation, and then begin again because a terrible tragedy occurred. And therefore, on Tisha B'Av, we don't daven. As a matter of fact, we don't even say Tetkabel and Kaddish, and we take the parochet off the Aron, and we don't say in Shacharit, we don't say Kriyat HaTorah with Yud Gimel Midot, which is Slichot, which is prayer. We basically only later on does the day become a day of prayer. So when a terrible calamity happens, a Gzerah, the religious religious reaction is Avilut. When Tzara happens, and it's not Gzerah, it's still, you can change it, then the reaction is not Avilut, but rather Tefillah. Tzara is Mechayev Tefillah. But that's briefly, I can't go into any more detail. The second question, Bechirach of Shit, certainly there's Bechirach of Shit. But when you deal, you're right. When you deal with, did I understand the first thing, or shall I repeat it? Okay. When you deal with when you deal with the unfolding of Jewish history, which is meta history, with Asiyat Hashem, I'm not so sure that we could talk about Bichirach Hashem. Bichirach Hashem is on a local level. I don't think that we can limit the Shoah to Bichirach Hashem of Hitler. And if we don't, I mean, I don't have any answers, and don't expect any answers from me. But nevertheless, when we talk about Jewish history, I don't think we can limit it to one person's Bechirach of Shit. That's my personal opinion, but you might argue. Regarding Amona, my daughter who learns in Afraot went to Amona. It's right next to, the entire school went there. My son who learns in Chorev, the entire school also went to Amona. I told both of them two things. First of all, I didn't have them in those buildings. I said, I think it's good that you believe in something, you should protest. However, I do not want you to be doing anything which is illegal. I do not want you to be confrontational with the police. Not because I was worried that they would get hit. I was worried about that as well. But because I thought it was a bad message. And I said, the only reason I'm afraid of you going is because you're going to see things and you're going to come to conclusions. And your young minds are not complex enough to be able to deal with what you're going to see. You might be seeing terrible things, and then you're going to have a very, very, an attitude which is very, very anti, certainly police, perhaps government, and you're not going to have a much broader and more complex view in order to be able to deal with that. And that was my concern. My concern was educational. But I felt that if somebody wants to go to protest what they believe in, that's certainly, I think, it is legitimate to allow them to do that. So I did allow them to go, but I gave them a speech beforehand. I gave them the speech afterwards. I don't know how much they listened to me, but okay, that's another problem. But yeah, regarding what I said, I don't plan on being motzi dibat haaretz ra'ah, but to hide our heads in the sand is also a problem. There are certainly a lot of youth who, after everything that happened, will be mitgayis latzava, but there's a growing number who will not. There's a growing number. We've heard here people that it's not a question of only lack of leadership, people that are not interested in listening to the leadership. After I thought Muetzet Yesha in certain ways behaved in the disengagement in a very, very responsible way. In certain ways. I have certain problems with their policy, but they did not go over certain red lines. The youth looked at them and started calling them, instead of Muetzet Yesha, Muetzet Pesha, which means Muetzah of crime, Muetzet Yeshu, which obviously referring to Jesus and turning the other cheek, and they weren't willing to listen to anybody that had a more of a mamach, I'm saying, but it's a growing problem. You're right, there are many people not, but it's a growing problem. The fringes are growing. And when you talk about the fringes, I'm talking about people that are not willing to be, are not rooted in anything practical. If it's practical, you give a practical argument, they'll say, but we have to have faith. You have to have it's spirituality that's not rooted in rabbinic leadership, except for perhaps certain people from Yitzhar, who I do not trust in terms of their responsibility. And one has to realize that it's a growing problem. If we're going to hide our heads in the sand, we're not going to deal with it, the problem will grow even bigger. It's not that it's you know, a plague, but we have to realize that it is a growing problem and it has to be dealt with.
So I know that there are many, many wonderful youth who are very, very committed and also very, very disillusioned, and they're having problems, but they're not willing to break everything and break the kolim and break all ties, and they're not, and they're still willing to join the army, and they still realize that the government is their government, but they have a lot of questions which are not being answered. Because in their minds, they need very, very simple yes or no answers, and they're having difficulty answering. But when I go to a place like Yeshivat Tichonit Shalavim, which is not in the Gvaot, and the responses that I got over there, and the type of attitudes and the type of sympathy that this fellow from Yitzhara got, it's something which I think has to concern us. And if we're not going to realize what's going on, then we're going to be crying later that it's too late.
Okay, I think it's we'll call it an evening.